Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast, where we delve into the business side of online wellness, sharing stories, strategies, and inspiration from people like you who are building meaningful income streams on the internet. If you're in the business of helping people to live healthier, happier lives, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified each time we release a new episode. Welcome, Carrie, to the Wellness Creator Podcast. I'm so happy to have this afternoon to chat with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Jenny. It's a pleasure to be here and be on the new podcast and see where it goes.
Yeah, it's great. I've loved following your journey. Can you go ahead and just give our listeners an overview of who you are, what you teach, and what your business looks like?
Okay, that is a lot. I will try and be succinct when talk about it. But I'm Carrie Hines. I am the human behind Fertile Body Yoga, which is originally a virtual yoga studio, which is sort of growing more into a wellness hub of sorts. But I support mind, body, soul, spirit, energy for those who are trying to conceive. And I do that with yoga, meditation, visualizations, cool workshops, programs, coaching. And yeah, I love what I do. I love supporting people going through fertility treatment and also supporting those who have experienced pregnancy loss or just trying to start a family and just want a little extra support. So that's what I do. And it's all online now. And this started, I was lucky. I actually signed up for what was then Nama Stream before COVID. And I had everything totally set up. I had the products in the store, but I hadn't launched it yet. And it was sort of a dream of mine. Like, I want to take it online. I want to offer it to people. And then COVID hit and I was like, boom, I'm ready. Shut down. The next week, everything was online. So I was really lucky in that way.
Yeah. I think that those of us who came online pre-COVID were sort of like, you know, the visionaries that saw this coming. And I like to say for everyone who is questioning whether kind of like online wellness or online creators are actually a thing, or it's just like this weird byproduct of COVID. Like, this was a trend that for people like us was building well before the pandemic shut down the world and, yeah, you know, just accelerated growth that was already happening. So you were in the right place at the right time. You'd perfectly positioned yourself for one of these like black swan events. Yeah.
A little history. The reason I do this is because I went through my own fertility struggles and pregnancy loss and IVF treatments and so on. And I do have two kids now. But one of the reasons I began to think about moving everything online is because I was busting my butt at a yoga studio, working so hard and bringing like a totally new concept. Because at the time, this was 8 years ago, fertility yoga wasn't even a thing. No one knew what it was. Mm-hmm. I had to explain it. It was a niche that was not even really a niche. I think there was like 5 people in the States that were teaching fertility yoga. And yeah, I just got tired of working for somebody else. I was making no money, but they were making lots of money off of me. And I was like, hold on a second. I can do so much of this myself online. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I started to do in the background while I was still working at the studio. Yeah.
So were you a yoga teacher that did you use certain kinds of yoga to deal with what you were going through related to fertility and pregnancy? Or did you get into yoga after that part of your journey?
I used it during my journey, but I had been teaching yoga for many years before. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
I've been teaching yoga for 20 years. And I, back in the day when you got tapped on the shoulder by your teacher who was like, how about you take a class, right? You're ready to teach. So I hadn't even done a teacher training when I started teaching. I did do one eventually. But yeah, it was a very different sort of scene back then. And yeah, just having the experience of having a yoga practice during my fertility experience was so profound and supportive that is why I wanted to teach fertility yoga. And I think that's how they find their niche, really.
Yeah.
especially yoga teachers, if you're out there, yoga teachers listening, it's like having, like knowing yourself and where your wisdom is. And for me, it was like, I went through this. I understand it. I can support people. I learned so much. And then I just sort of created what I wanted to do. And that's mm-hmm. what happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So do you typically work with women in a group setting, or are people kind of doing this work in a self-study mode, or do you have clients one-on-one? What is the actual sort of interactive structure of your business look like?
That is a good question. I think I do a lot of different things, but I would say majority is group. So I offer, and this was something that we might talk about today, but this, like, what did you used to do that you don't do anymore? And one big thing that really changed, like when I started online, there were a couple things. First, I was like, I'm just going to be a yoga teacher online, not realizing all the other things I needed to learn, like build a website, learn how to use ConvertKit. You need a degree. You need 4 years of training to figure that out. So becoming an entrepreneur was part of it. And I felt like the journey to get to a place where I felt comfortable providing things for people, like it took a little while. So I started with the mindset of, I come from a brick and mortar studio, and I just kind of used that knowledge to try and create the online studio. And it was mm-hmm. totally not, it didn't fit. I was trying to fill all the space, right? Like, I'm going to put like 20 things on the calendar. And so just in case they can't come to a Saturday class, here's a Tuesday evening and here's a Wednesday morning, like you would in a regular yoga studio. So I was treating it like that. And then I realized, no, it's just me. I don't have the overhead of brick and mortar. I don't have to pay anybody but me. So I just scaled back. I went from teaching 2 weekly classes to offering once a week, like a series of 6 weeks at a time. And it took me a while to land on the 6 weeks. I tried 4, I tried 8, but 6 weeks was like enough, especially in fertility, to have a full menstrual cycle go through, and it was enough support for people. So that was a huge change that happened. And as soon as I went to a series, it was night or day. Night or not night or day, but I was able to say, here's a program. You sign up for it, regardless of if you show up, I'm keeping your money, right?
Yeah.
And there's a recording and you can watch it in your free time if you can't make it. So it was a huge shift there to actually be like, oh my gosh, I'm actually making money. I'm not trying to peddle weekly classes that I didn't have a sub for, that took over my life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. So it seems like you really went from being a teacher in a studio to being a business owner, an entrepreneur. So in addition to learning the technology to teach online, you also made that transition from contractor or employee to owner. And I'm wondering, how did that adjustment go for you? Were there any bumpy parts of that road, or how do you embrace the idea of being an entrepreneur now?
You know, I still have moments where I wake up in the morning and need to remember that I'm an entrepreneur, but it doesn't come necessarily easily to me. It took some time. And I think the biggest thing was being comfortable putting myself out there publicly, as opposed to like the yoga studio does most of the marketing and the people come to your class. But when you're doing it yourself, you need to bring yourself into people's sight so that they can see you. And that was a really uncomfortable thing for me. My Instagram page is pitiful. And that's something I don't really spend a lot of time on, but I started podcasting. So yay for podcasting. I love it. And that has been a huge thing for me, like a transport. People can understand who I am. And that, I think we've talked about this, or I've heard you talk about it for sure, but people need to know who you are before they're going to buy something from you. Mm-hmm. And that took a while to learn.
Yeah, especially if you're dealing in the product of their well-being, right? Which is what everyone pretty much in our industry is doing. Like, your people are trusting their bodies, and they're, in many cases, they're like kind of mental well-being with their teacher. So they, of course, especially if they haven't met you before in person, and don't have an association that way. They need to get to know you one way or the other to see if you're a good fit. It should be mutual. Just kind of going back to something that you said earlier about when you started your studio, you kind of thought you had to be the same as a brick and mortar, an example of where you had worked before, which I think is a really common scenario. Like, I think a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to work online. I'm just going to replicate what I have in my offline life and career and put it online. And niching is one of those areas I like to point out where when you're in a community, in a physical brick and mortar life and community, your niche is really your neighborhood or your town or your community. Like, that's kind of your niche. And so it's, you are out marketing and existing in that world because you're just operating in the world physically in that community. When you come online, that kind of communal space and connection space disappears. And so you have to be much more intentional about what work you do in the world, what kind of thought leadership you're creating, and who you want to speak to. Carrie, can you just tell us the name of your podcast? Because I know some listeners are going to want to pop over there and listen. Oh,
yes, it's called Fringe Fertility. Fringe Fertility. And it, I mean, I've been doing it for about a year and a bit now. More seriously, recently, I've committed to once a week for a year. And I'm down to like, I'm in 3 months now. But I love it. It's so fun. But I'm really just taking, I don't know, the stories and taking everything out of the medical world. I feel like there's enough podcasts out there about fertility and the medicine and the, and that, that's what people get jammed down their throats when they're going through it. Like, here's all the pills you need to take and the shots you need to take and do this and do that, blah, blah, blah. The doctor said so. But there's so many more supportive practices out there, mind, body, soul, energy practices that can help support people. So that's the Fringe Fertility podcast. So yeah, I love it. I love podcasting. I should have done it years ago.
Yeah, I love it. I love it too. Obviously, I'm on my third one. So do you have a way of telling, like, have you been able to trace that you've gotten any clients from your podcast directly?
I have like a couple maybe, but I'm not looking at it as a lead magnet in that way. Like, I feel like it is that body of work that people are going to listen to and be like, oh, okay, I know her, I trust her, and I told so-and-so about you and so-and-so. And I don't know. I mean, people email me randomly like, hey, I came across your podcast. I live in Russia. I'm like an American living in Russia, and these are my experiences, and I found this is so wonderful. And then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to keep going. Like, it's reaching people, it's supporting people. That's the main thing, whether they come and actually do a yoga class with me or sign up for one of the programs or do some coaching or something. It's the cherry on top if that happens. But
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I imagine that that will snowball over time, because the thing about a podcast is that it's such great evergreen content. So people will be finding your podcast 5 years from now, episodes that you published, you know, a year ago. And so it will, I imagine, directly lead to clients, certainly will lead to your list growing and things like that.
I have found a bump in my list for sure. Yeah. And most of what I do, most of, like I said, I don't really do a lot of Instagramming and things. I still have an account and I still pop things out there, but most of it is the email list. Right. My 800 people on my email list are the most valuable things that I can find. And yeah, I've used different lead magnets over time with varying success. I thought for sure, oh, if I give away a free yoga class or a free meditation, you know, people would sign up like crazy, and they don't. I think I would get some, but definitely the quiz is by far the best lead magnet that I have ever done. And waitlists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And so do you promote the quiz on the podcast?
I don't, but I should. Well,
you need to have an ad. You need to have like a mid-roll in there for your quiz.
Oh my gosh, I should. I should, shouldn't I?
Yeah, good point. You totally should.
Okay.
Part of the benefit of the podcast is that like you can be one of the sponsors of your own show.
Good point. I never even thought of, I know that sometimes I've heard you on your podcast. On, she spoke like comes in the middle, like, hey, I should do that. I haven't gotten there yet. I feel like there's the learning curve to everything, right? And my husband, he's a very rational thinker. He's a scientist and I'm the yoga teacher. And so we have a very different way of looking at things. And he said to me, he's like, because I'd be like, oh, I'm so frustrated with this program. I can't figure it out and what's going on. And he would say, listen, if you keep going, most people will tap out right here. But if you keep going, right, you're going to be ahead. And so I always remember that whenever I'm just so frustrated and I just want to give up. I'm like, other people would give up at this point, but I'm not. I'm going to figure it out and I'm going to move forward. And that has been very helpful. But yes, I need to figure things out more for the podcast. But there's so many great, I mean, it's totally free. I haven't paid a single cent for anything to do the podcasting.
Yeah. The technology has improved really dramatically since I think we started our first show in 2015, 2016. And it was hard. Figuring out how to publish it was hard. We were using Audio Geek editing software, you know, that's like really ugly and hard to use. Like it was, it's just now it's dreamy to have a show. Yeah. Everything. That's the beauty of technology is like, you stay in it long enough, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, the Spotify for podcasters. It's so easy. Anybody can start a podcast. So if you're thinking about it, just do it. I started out actually by reading blog posts on my podcast. That's what I was like, well, I already have the content. I'll just and add a little pizzazz in there. That's how I started. And then I was like, well, this is kind of fun. I'm going to have a guest. And I just asked my friend who's an acupuncturist, like, let's talk about acupuncture and fertility. Okay. Let's, and then, and now I'm getting emails of pitches like maybe on your podcast. I'm like, sure. Why not? People have written books and going on world tours. I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do this. It's super cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really powerful networking tool for those people listening that haven't, like maybe are just considering it. It's amazing that once you have a platform, like a podcast, you're able to reach out to the people you've always wanted to talk to who are in your field. You'll maybe get approached by them anyway, and you can start to build those connections and relationships. And one of the greatest ways to grow your business is through networking and partnerships. And so to me, the podcast is like a very natural way to get there. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you say, hey, you want to come on the podcast? And then you're in their mind and they refer people to you. And that is one of the things, if we're talking about marketing and how do I find my people to come to yoga class, right? Because it's such an anonymous community. It's a very private community. People keep their stories close to the heart. And so it's not like everybody knows, and you can't do just tons of friend referrals or things like that, because people don't talk about it necessarily. And one of those ways that I have been able to do that is through collaboration. So sometimes I do collaborative workshops. So I used to do mind body weekend with an acupuncturist who is also a Reiki master, and I do Reiki. So we would do restorative yoga, Reiki, she'd do acupuncture, we'd do visualizations, like these full weekends. And yeah, it's just so important to find people that will cross-pollinate, because I send them people, they send me people. I even started a Facebook group for fertility practitioners. So if there's any out there you want to join, you can find that. And that's been really good. Just having just non-medical acupuncturists, massage therapists, things like that. And then be like, hey, I need a pelvic floor PT in New York City. Do you have any recommendations? And then people like, it's really cool to have that cross-pollination. And
yeah, that's great.
Yeah. The other big way, I know you talk about this in your programs too, but who's your client? Who's your quintessential client, right? Mm-hmm. And I used to believe everybody, anybody who's doing fertility treatment, they should be doing fertility yoga. And then you come to realize, no, like there's a certain subset that will do yoga. There's another certain subset that wants to do yoga with you because of my school and what I teach. And then as soon as I was able to like really figure that out, I knew I just was able to be more myself and not trying to tiptoe around. I don't want to offend so-and-so and I don't want to offend so-and-so. So I'm just going to like be wishy-washy in my statement, if that makes sense, and not be very specific. And then I just switched it. And you helped me do that with the last program that I did with you with the Luminaries Live. So that was really cool.
It makes me happy that you're able to kind of just show up as yourself and be like fully present to the world. And then the right people are kind of attracted to you and your work. And they kind of, it's like a natural filter for a right fit. I mean, that's the beauty of having your own business, is that you get to make it up and make it kind of fit who you are, your character, your personality, your lifestyle. And so, I mean, I just from the amount we've worked together, I have a sense of like who I know who would be dealing with fertility issues, who'd be like the perfect fits for you, and then other people who maybe wouldn't be. And that's so good. It's like so good for you to be fully yourself with your students and clients, because the people who for whom you attract, that experience is going to be that much better for them than if you were just kind of putting out a sanitized version of yourself.
Yeah, like a watered down. And yeah. I love the energetics of fertility and the subtle body and talking about that. And many people think I'm completely crazy. They're like, mm-hmm. Well, I just want to do some yoga poses to help me get pregnant. And that's great. I can give you yoga poses, but you know, it's so much more. And yeah. I feel like there's, because I know you work a lot with yoga teachers, right? That there's the Western society concept of yoga is so tiny and small, and we get mm-hmm. caught up that it's only about the way we put our bodies into a pose. It's about exercise. It's about fancy yoga pants and yoga bums and whatever, Instagram on the beach yoga. And it's just so not. And
yeah.
Being able to pass that on to people yeah. and they're like, oh my gosh. And people will get it. Like you could see it in their faces. I know. And when I used to teach in person, I would know if someone would come back for another yoga class to those who would go with me to the end within the first 10 minutes. Because some people were like, I'm just here because someone told me one day I should just go and do some fertility yoga and it would help me. And I'm super bitter about it. And I don't want to do it anyways. I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Right? Don't stress yourself out. It's not going to make that difference. You need to believe, right? Believe your business. Yeah. You need to believe in your business, what you're selling. Love it. Know that it's worth the money that you're asking for and the time that you're putting into it. Sometimes we get so timid. We don't want to ask for money, things like that.
Yeah. You know what? It's so absurd to me, especially related to what you sell, that anyone would ever be concerned about it at all. I mean, because fertility is so medicalized, and at least in my country, in the United States, it's so expensive to mm-hmm. do IVF or any kind of medicalized fertility treatment. The fact that anyone in your position is going to charge infinitesimally less than a medical institution would charge for anything close to what you deliver. And so I think it's always worth just kind of backing up and evaluating like what biases are we bringing to our pricing, or, you know, how we conceive of what we create and sell. When I look at what you sell, it's worth so much because I'm comparing it. I mean, I'm looking at the result that you produce for people, the transformation you give people, but I'm also comparing it to like what is sort of standard in our culture that someone pays for any kind of fertility, anything. And it's so much. And so I think that there's a lot of work, mindset work in the wellness industry for all of us. And then like sort of all of the consumers, the students, the patients, to be able to recognize that just because something isn't kind of sanctioned by the higher authorities, that it's not, that it doesn't work or that it's, yeah, that's why I love working with and serving this market, like the wellness industry, because I think, first of all, I believe in a lot of the work that our clients do. Like I believe in what you're doing. And mm-hmm. I think that so often, whether because of like self-limitations by practitioners or society at large, the impact of that work gets minimized and it's not fair and it's not helpful.
Totally. Yes. Yes, Jenny. You're talking about, I was just thinking, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who teaches breath work and we do workshops together. And I said, and we were talking about, we don't make any money. Like it's so hard to charge what you know you're worth and have the larger community, the public, actually sign up and pay for it, because there are other people in the community offering a breathwork course that's $30, mm-hmm. right? And it's this huge transformational thing. Or there's another yoga teacher offering a workshop that's $25, but you're asking $75 for a collaborative group workshop that's 2.5 hours. It's got all these things. And people are like, well, it's so expensive. And it's like, it's not. It's not right. expensive. The other right. ones are too cheap. And it's almost like a disservice to yeah. the industry to not charge what you're worth, especially mm-hmm. like giving it away for free all the time. Like, oh my gosh. And then these large online yoga platforms, it's like, you know, $10.99 a month for billions of yoga classes to choose from. And I have fertility yoga on there. A lot of them do too now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I can't compete with them. Like, I just can't. And I also can't charge $10 a month for a membership. So yeah. I got to charge enough that I feel like, okay, I could possibly feed my children with the work.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's so important to point out, Carrie. And I think that's where I always recommend just like stop the comparison, right? Because that's why you create something that's so unique, and that why I encourage that and Sandy encourages that, is so that you aren't ever compared to a corporate yoga platform that offers fertility yoga, because it's so clear that you're different than that. I mean, the only reason, a lot of those platforms are venture backed. So the money, it's like our pension plans subsidizing people to take $10 a month yoga classes. So that's like a whole conversation we could go down. Yeah. But it's also that, you know, because they're subsidized by investment banks or venture capital or public markets, they are able to like kind of lose money on their students. And so they're able to charge that little amount so that they can basically subsidize those students and then get, you know, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 students on the platform, which can start to make them it's kind of this terrible phenomenon in society where it's just like the costs are being externalized, like the value gets externalized, you know, to like an investment firm, and it's not going to the teachers. Yeah,
exactly. Who's paying the teachers? Because I was asked to be on one of those big platforms.
Yeah,
it was a ridiculous, like, so but you would get good publicity for everything.
Yeah, else. Yeah. I've seen the contracts. Like, we've had enough clients at this point that people have showed me just about everything. It's horrifying. I mean, we had a client that went on to become a Peloton instructor, and I think that I did not see that contract. That person was no longer working with us at that point. But I mean, maybe that one, right? Because like then you're like instantly world famous and you have all the opportunities in the world. But shy of Peloton hiring you, which then has its own issues. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's really worth questioning whether or not it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. I said no. It was during COVID, and it was the yoga
good for you
that I worked with. They're like, we think, because they were like, what's really good that could be taught online virtually? And they're like, fertility yoga. So they were trying, and I was teaching for them already. And they really were like, Carrie, you should let's do the online platform that we're putting together. And it'll be so great. It'll be such good, whatever. And at first I was like, of course, like our egos, right? We're like, oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'd love for everybody to like be able to access what I'm offering. And then I took a step back and I was like, whoa. And I read between the lines and it was like, no. How can you even think about paying teachers so little? And it's the same studio. It was in the news a few years ago, if anybody's from Boston, but there was a lot of controversy about the contracts that they made us sign. So if we're talking about contracts. And when I moved to that studio, I, thank goodness, was advised by someone, because I brought the fertility yoga with me. And they said, put a clause in there that when you leave, you take the name, you take the content, you can teach it right away, because there was a 1-year non-complete clause in there, which was horrible and totally illegal. So I did that. And so luckily when COVID hit and I went online, there was no issue. I just said, okay, I'm not teaching anymore. Yeah. And then went online. So
Yeah, that's great. That's like a really important thing that you just said that I want to emphasize so that everyone listening really internalizes this. Like, you were aware of, thanks to your friend and your own like intuitive sense of self-worth, that you actually were holding intellectual property that belonged to you. And I think that that's really, really important that everyone in this industry also acknowledges, that as you get more experience at what you do and you develop kind of your own flows and your own systems and your own ways of talking about certain things and whatever else you're bringing and inventing is what we use in like patent law, you're creating something and it's worth something. Like, it can be worth a lot. And so part of, I think, the beauty of being an entrepreneur and having an internet-based business is that you can like really stake a claim to that and say, like, this is my brand of this. And it's like, I've developed this over time for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I've been teaching fertility yoga for 8 years, and I was like, I need a good name. Like, I want a good name. Fertile Body Yoga was what, and it has been ever since that first day. and it has traveled with me. As soon as I went online, like we moved in the middle of COVID online. We just literally went from Boston to Washington State, middle of the mountains. And like, I did not even miss a single class.
Amazing.
Moved and like two days later, I was in an Airbnb and I was teaching and just kept on going. And it was so nice to, I like felt good. Felt good to be able to just continue and not rely on other people. Like my job and find another place to work and teach yoga. And yeah, I love it. And the flexibility is the best, really is flexibility. I don't have a membership though. I don't have a membership. I should maybe, but I don't.
What's your secondary backend offer? We'll talk about that one later.
Hey, secondary backend offer. Got it. Thanks, Jenny. Yeah, no, I was, because I was like, I need to roll my people that I'm finishing this new program with into something.
Yeah, into a membership. You totally into
a membership. Yeah. And that, but then I was like, well, it's only 10 people, maybe 5 people. You talk yourself out of things quickly.
Yeah, but that's like recurring revenue. I mean, just think of the value over time as every new kind of cohort you launch or program you launch, you have this kind of percentage that rolls into your membership and it kind of grows and grows over time. It's a pretty magical business model.
Yeah.
But it's good to start with the more comprehensive program first and then roll people into the membership.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too, of the niche that I am. And I know that people are constantly always trying to get new people coming in all the time. But yeah, if I do my job really well, I lose my students. And so like, there's always this constant influx. And one of the ways that I have found that works for that too is not collaborations only and working the network, but the doctors.
Yeah.
Creating relationships with the doctors. And if you're not doing fertility yoga, but you're doing yoga for cancer, whatever, the relationship you can create with the doctors is so valuable. And the best way to do that is to have one of your students connect you with them. Like, you know, you have those students that are like the connectors.
Yeah.
They love what you do. They're like, I want to help you. I'm going to introduce you to blankety blank. And those have been the most amazing connections that my students have ever put together for me. Or is, I'm going to connect you with my doctor. And then I sit there with the doctor. I tell them what I do. They're like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. This is actually could be valuable. I didn't know what this was. And then they start to tell their patients and then the other doctors do. And like, it turns into this spread, network spread. And it's really cool. So find those people and get your students to do it for you. Cause no, you can't call doctors.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just the first step is being really good at what you do, giving people great results. And the second step is just asking, just casually asking. People want to help someone that helped them.
Yeah.
Right. So they see you and they see that you created this miracle for them, helped them to create a miracle in their body. And so if you just like, it's such a small ask to say like, oh, if this is really impacting you, I'd love it if you'd be willing to recommend me as a referral partner for your doctor. What a beautiful way of them to support other patients too.
Yeah. And the community too. So I have one hospital in Boston. So I still basically work on Boston time. Most of my people are coming from Boston, which is nice because I go to bed early. So I don't, you know, I don't like evening classes. But yeah, one doctor, she's so on board. She does, like, I don't get any email addresses, but she does a blast to her whole, all of the people in the clinic. Like, hey, there's this opportunity. You might like, check it out. Fertility Yoga with Carrie. I'll get hundreds of people a year.
That's great. That.
So yeah, those connections are, and protect them with your life. Be like, nurture them and hold on to them. And yeah, it's so important. Yeah.
Yeah. I think business is so much about relationships. And I think when we first come online, maybe we forget that that's actually also how it works on the internet. Like somehow because it's online doesn't mean that it's still not relationships. So just like if you were still in person teaching, like the people you're interacting with every day are going to impact your business, right? Like that's going to be where you get new students and people find out about you. It's the same thing on the internet. So I think that's such an important example. And even for folks who are not doing something so explicitly health related as fertility or cancer treatment, I still think for those listening who have different niches and different areas of specialty, think about if there are other practitioners or doctors who could be great referral partners, and that you also can refer your students and clients to them when the need arises too.
Yeah, it's like reciprocity rules. Constantly, people always ask me, like, do you know an acupuncturist or pelvic floor PT or like a fertility therapist or a coach or whatever? And I do. I do. And so I refer tons. People refer to me. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's why I don't spend a lot of time on Instagram.
Yeah. That's great. Because I'm like,
it's not really my thing. It's just not my thing.
And that's totally fine. It's also not my thing. I think it is the thing for a lot of people, certainly extroverts, like a lot of extroverts love it, but it's not for everyone. And that's okay. Like, you can build a business, especially online, in a way that totally aligns with your character and personality and values. You just have to keep trying things till you find something that sticks. In your case, obviously networking and podcasting make a lot of sense.
And I think also, if anybody's listening, and I know we talked about this in the program too, but we talk about perfectionism a bit. And so I used to just blog. And I hated it. I just hated it. And I knew, not that I hate writing. I like writing. I just am such a perfectionist. I could never finish anything. It was never good enough. I needed to do all the research. I needed to get the reference things and the citations perfect. And it would take me like a month to write one thing. And I was like, this is exhausting. How am I supposed to do this once a week or whatever? And that is why I went to podcasting, because I can be human podcasting. I can say, I can't when I write. I can say, but, and I don't when I write, right? So it has totally changed that. So if you're listening and you're blogging and you're like, ugh, it's such a hard, it's a heavy lift to do that every week or once a month. And we need to, right? For the SEO and all that. And yeah, take a spin at podcasting. And I really do think my podcasts reach more people than my blogs do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think podcasting is just something that's kind of like always growing. More and more people are getting their information from podcasts. So I would say we're a far ways off from that being saturated in any way. So if anyone's considering podcasting, it's always something that's good to try and see if it feels in alignment with you and your work style. And I'll also say, with like the advent of AI writing tools, I think podcasting is going to be more and more important and valuable, even though there's also AI voice tools. I hope that we don't have podcasts taken over by AI voice tools. AI,
that would be weird.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
I get the writing and get the benefit. And I also am running in fear in the opposite direction. And like, there's a dichotomy there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the creepy thing about like AI podcasting would be like, it's going to be the AI voice that's cloned to your voice is going to be reading something. So it's like, still, you have to write it all out. Versus the beauty of podcasting to me is like the conversational aspect of it, which you just can't recreate. I don't know how you recreate that. Maybe someone's working on some like really advanced language learning model that can figure out how to like emulate your conversational style. But until then, I don't think so. No. Like, podcasting is, I think, there's kind of like a little buffer around it until someone figures that out.
Well, good. Cause I think it's, I love it.
Yeah.
I've said that like 20 times. I love it. Yeah. I do love it.
So, Carrie, just thinking about your business moving forward, what are you most excited about? So we're in the early part, winter of 2024. So just, you're almost at your 4-year anniversary in online business, which is super exciting. And it's crazy to think the pandemic started 4 years ago. It feels like 18 months to me.
I thought it was 3 years ago.
Four? It's like four. 2019. Four next month. 2020 to 2024. 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're almost by your 4-year anniversary.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking about like you're in it, you like figured some big stuff out in 4 years. What do you think is coming next?
So what I have decided, I can't remember. It was somebody who said in the program, Carrie, you're more than just a yoga teacher. Look at all the things that you do. And I was like, you know what? You're right. And everybody was encouraging me like to take that coaching aspect and be like, just own it because you're already doing it. So just label it as it is. And so I did. And that's something I'm super excited about, is moving more into the coaching side of things and not always just about a yoga class. Cause I feel like I just get burnt out always teaching a yoga class. Mm-hmm. And I love talking to people. I love supporting people in different ways. And that has been a huge thing. So I'm kind of embracing that. I also, this program that I just launched, which is 40 Days to Fertile Freedom, it's a 40-day program, and almost finished the first run. The feedback's been amazing. It's sold out. I have people on the wait list for the next one, which is starting in May. And I have always envisioned writing a book. And I was like, this would be the best book, like 40 days of practice and things to do. And so I kind of like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, maybe it'll be a book one day. So I don't know, just sort of create the empire around a bit of everything. I've steered away a little bit from the evergreen. I have evergreen products that sell. They just sell in the background, which is great. So like a practice just for frozen embryo transfer, or one for pregnancy loss, and one for early pregnancy after loss or treatment. And those just kind of hang out in the back and sell. They were the first things I made. I'm going to do these three products. I'm going to put them in the store, make sense to me. And they just sell in the background. I don't make billions of dollars selling them, but they're just always there making me money. So, but I haven't done one of those for a while. So I was thinking the 40-day program could also be an evergreen, self-paced, on-demand with options for one-on-one coaching or something along the way too. So I don't know. I have big dreams.
I love it. I love that you're talking about writing a book. That makes me so happy. I see it as like such an obvious next step for you, and I can just see the path. And I mean, I feel like 2024 could be the year that Carrie writes the book, which scares you to death. No. But I just like see it all, because you already have like all the knowledge, like you already have the whole thing written in your head, right? You have the whole, so it's just putting it into a book format.
I know, yeah. But there's a lot that goes into books.
I know.
You've written a book? I don't know. But yeah.
Oh, I spent years working with a team. I wrote a textbook.
It was years.
Yes. But I also think that there's a lot of support resources and technologies that make the book writing process easier now too. So True. Just like the podcasting and the videography, like all those things get easier. I think to me, the hard part is coming up with the good idea and articulating the vision, which is the part you already have. So
yeah. But then being a perfectionist, how long do you think?
Yeah, that's where you, you got to find someone to kind of like help you through that part of it, I think. Yeah.
Nope, it's good. It's good enough. It's good enough.
What's good like enough?
The 80-20 rule or whatever.
Yeah. 20%. Yeah, I think you got to focus more on the people who will read the book and what the result will be for them versus your own relationship to like the sentence structure of the chapters or something, you know, like that's just about thinking about like, what is the purpose of the book? The purpose is to transform someone's life. So the longer we wait to put the book out, the more we have to wait. Those people have to wait to have the result.
Oh, good point, Jenny. Yeah, no, you're right. I should just do it. But first it was get this program off the ground. Yeah. I had been sitting on this program for 2 years and I never did it. And then I signed up for your program and I was like, this is it. I got a program. I know what I want to do. I've been thinking about it for years. I just got to do it. I think that's all.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you just need to do that work in community or with another person or have an accountability partner or have a coach. I think there's like nothing wrong with thriving in those resources. I think it's good. I mean, some people can do things quickly and efficiently on their own and bless them. But I think, well, many of us, it's helpful to have outside resources that sort of like guide us through something.
Absolutely.
And hold us accountable.
Yeah. Well, and things that I knew, like I have, you know, signed up for free things and done things and like things that I've known and been hammered into my head about marketing and fixed the problem, and like all these things. But until someone's staring at you live, calling you out on your biases and like, okay, just do it and get it done. And it's, you know, do it next week. And like, okay, I'm just going to do it. But yeah, like there's definitely I feel like being an entrepreneur, you have to have that. Mm-hmm. You have to be like, I'm just got to get up and do it.
I think that's great advice. Good advice to end on. Well, thank you so much for your time, Carrie, and for sharing all of your wisdom and your stories with our listeners. Can you just let folks know where to find you online?
Oh, yeah. So my website is fertilebodyyoga.com. And Instagram, if you do Instagram, is at fertilebodyyoga. The podcast is Fringe Fertility. What else did I mention? Oh, the Facebook group for fertility practitioners, if anybody's listening, is called Fertile Ground. I think my name is attached to it as well. So I think that's it. Is that it? Did I miss anything?
Yeah, that's plenty. That's great. If you think of something else, just let us know.
Okay. My new book coming out soon.
Yeah. On shelves, October 15th, 2024.
One day it'll happen. Maybe 2025.
Maybe. Okay. I'm going to follow up. I want to make sure you write the book.
Which is important because I need people to make me account. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thank you, Carrie. This podcast is brought to you by Marvelous. Marvelous helps you build and sell your own courses, coaching programs, memberships, and digital products. Go from idea to open for business in just minutes. If you're looking for a simple, beautiful, custom-branded platform to build and grow your online business, you can learn more at heymarvelous.com.